get your smoke on, get your chill on. Let's get these conversations on. Calling all moms and anybody who's living life. The Pop Moms Podcast is here.
I'm already getting old.
I feel old every minute. And, you know, somebody once recently told me that 36 is the peak age where your body has not started to deteriorate yet and you are your most mentally sound, perhaps, because your cognitive control system and your emotional control system have caught up with each other, which, you know, I don't know when exactly that happens. They say for women, it's early 20s. For men, it can be as late as 32. But so 36 is the peak, so they say. I turned 33 this week, and I feel peak-ish, kind of, but I also feel just this immense pressure that I need to be constantly working on changing myself now, because soon I'll be ugly. You know, like, if you don't have Botox, if you're not getting contoured and chisel package and whatever the shit is that eats your fat and your neck, Kybella, like all this stuff, then ultimately you're doomed. So
there are a lot of options, and I'm going to completely just pretend like you didn't say that the age I currently am is my peak, because that's horrifying.
No,
I'm just kidding. I don't feel like I've peaked yet. I feel like I've had different peaks, right? Like, yeah. I feel like my energy level and like where my spirit is peaked at like 23, but in a good way, because I retain that inside. Yeah. I feel like I'm internally 23.
Totally.
Which again, then when like I think about the fact of how many children I have and how old they are now, just really freaks me out. When I was at camp with my son, I was with a group of fifth grade girls, and they asked me how old I was. And when I told them 36, they said, "Oh my God, we thought you were 23. We thought you were 26.
Yeah.
And I was like, beautiful children come hither.
Yeah.
You amazing little souls who just complimented me to my depths.
I mean, you do look that young and fresh at all times.
Thank you. Keep it coming. And these girls, I just said, I love it, but do the math. You're 11.
Yeah.
That would have made me 12 as a parent.
As a parent. You're like, this doesn't quite add up.
I'm like, but keep it coming.
Yeah.
Keep it coming. They called me a cool mom. It was really fulfilling.
You are
such
a cool mom.
Oh, you are too.
Well, and I should say that 36, this is not like, there is no such thing as a peak, right? There are so many wildly successful people that didn't get to where they are until they were in their 50s or whatever. Like, there's so many different ways to define a quote-unquote peak, but this was a metric strictly based on, like, cell growth and cell death, where 36 is your peak physical body, and then after that, you have more cells dying than regenerating or something. So it's just, like, a number for where, as my mom said, when her knee started to hurt. You know, things like that, where it's just something to keep in mind. But I try to, you know, always focus on the fact that it is such a gift to get a year older, you know, and you learn
so much. I love that.
You learn so much every year. I mean, literally, the things I've learned this year alone in how to manage my expectation monster, my internal expectation monster, and, you know, all of the things we talked about in the BOD episode, you know, taking care of our bodies, how we've got that dialed in finally, where I finally feel like I'm in, as much control as you can possibly be with young children, right? But I'm in control of my fitness, my nutrition, my energy levels, my mood for the most part.
The balance of it all.
Yeah, like it feels like less of an unattainable juggling act and more of just like a manageable juggling act, if you will, you know?
Because it's always juggling, because there's always going to be things that are pulling you in different directions. I actually agree with that. I would love to feel more energetic, feel more well-rested, but I know it's the things that I'm doing with my kids that are making me feel this way, so I can kind of cash that.
Yeah.
But I do feel old.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is the messaging, though, where, you know, you get all of this messaging that as a woman in your 30s, you're now chasing
your
20s, right? And
36 for a man is like 15.
Well, I told you that half these men are just now becoming peak emotional age, right? Or they're just finally, their cognitive control system and their emotional control system are catching up with each other.
Horrifying.
Yeah, so they're just now in their vibrant time of life. I remember when the first time I met my husband's father, he told me that Trevor would be his best self at 32 or 33, that a switch was just going to flip and all of a sudden he was going to be this remarkable person. And I was like, well, he's already remarkable, so can't wait for that flipped switch. We'll see.
That's funny. I feel like my dad has Peter Pan syndrome and he'll never like be like, oh no, this is a great time that you'll be emotionally stable. And not emotionally stable. That was the wrong word. Emotionally mature. Like,
yeah,
that's funny. But I do feel the most confident, the smartest, not so much in book smart. I actually feel way dumber in that way.
I was
going
to say, do you feel the smartest? Because that's one of the metrics that stresses me out about aging, is I want to stay cognitively sharp. And I feel nervous that as I age, I will be less so. Just because the type of work I do, well, it requires actually a ton of cognitive hoop jumping and conversational, emotional management.
It's just not U.S. history.
Yeah, it's just not textbook. I'm just not good at math anymore, okay? That's really what it is. Doing math makes me feel dumb nowadays, so.
Well, just wait until Leon is in school because you get a refresher. I feel the best that I am at mental math, and I do think that the work, and this is not a plug, but the work that I do on Duolingo with my Spanish is kind of like my daily learning. Yeah. So there's new things that I'm learning. There's new things that I'm introducing to my brain. So from an aging perspective there, I feel dialed. I feel good. Yeah. It's just mostly my face. And a little bit my nipples, but that's okay. That's three kids.
You've had three children. Your nipples are fine. Yeah, that the cosmetic angle of aging, I think, especially now when you have this wildly booming industry of injectables and Botox and Botox has been around for 40 plus years, but you know, this ever-changing landscape of people micro needling their delicate, whatever.
It sounds like a combination of both the words we said.
Yeah, you know what it is. Your neck region. Anyways,
your gizzard.
And I retouch those things, right, for my clients. And I have, of course, spent the last almost 15 years now of my life hearing people talk about all the things they hate about themselves and changing those things for them. And for myself included. When I look back at the photos of myself when I had first learned how to retouch, oh my God.
Even need it.
Oh, I look like a crazy porcelain alien. And I'm like, yeah, now you just leave it, right? And I also tell all my clients that Photoshop ages horribly. We age wonderfully, but retouching does not age well, because then you look back at yourself when you would have looked great because the time has given you that perspective, and instead we had changed you back then, so now you just look weird back then, you know?
Or just an impossible standard to keep, which exactly I think is the problem, because I feel the same way about photos when I was younger. I always thought, oh my God, I need to do this. I need to do that. And then I look now at what like the raw images look like. And I am like, holy cow, we should have been so much more accepting of our bodies. But even now, I am very cognizant that I should be very accepting of how I look now. Because to your point, it only gets worse. Not worse. The things that I focus in on. And I will tell you 100%, I focus in on crow's feet. Because the first time that I saw that on someone who I thought was young...
Yeah.
Or I didn't view as old. I shouldn't say that was young. It was a boss from when I worked at Target. And I considered her one of the most beautiful people. So confident, whatever. I saw crow's feet and I was like, oh my God. Then I was like, but you're only 40. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that planted a weird seed in my head.
Yeah.
And then the forehead lines and the crow's feet. Those I could just, if I could solve those, I could deal with the smile lines, because I don't want to stop smiling at the end of the day. I know that they're big, you know, whatever, people feel one way or another on it. But I mean, self-admittedly, I use Botox. I love it. I get it done 4 times a year. It is a self-care treat for myself. I get my forehead. I get a little in my crow's feet so I can still move my face.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was to make me stop making a what the fuck face at people. Like, I'll make the face at you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do it anymore because I got out of the habit of making that face because I couldn't move those muscles.
Yeah.
So I am trying to use it in a way to prevent versus completely freeze.
Yeah. I am so expressive in my face that I think Trevor, first of all, is so against that stuff. Just because he does not value physical appearance as a metric.
So is Mike. The only way he will know I do this is if he listens to this episode.
Oh my God, don't listen. Yeah, nobody tell him if you're listening right now. But he just... physical appearance is not a metric that he takes into consideration. He's like, you're married now. All you needed your face for was marketing, and now you've found a partner, so it's over. It's like
that's how he amazing.
Thinks about it, you know? But and there's obviously merit in that. If you stop prioritizing your physical appearance, you have so much more time. Like, the sheer volume of time and money, mind you, right? The pink tax, all this expensive stuff changes that are marketed to women, ultimately because it is beaten into us that all of our value rests in our physical presentation, you know? Then you get to this place where you're, like, barely aging, mind you.
Barely. I'm mad that I feel this way at 36.
Like, it's so ridiculous. And so I try very hard to pivot back to that place of, like, that metric doesn't matter. People just want to tell you it does so that you spend money changing it about you. But at the same time, you know, it in the industry I'm in where I'm just, like, analyzing faces all day long, I analyze my own every morning and night, and I see it changing. And I think, oh, if it looks like this now and I don't do anything about it, then in 10 years it's going to be really bad, quote unquote, right? But, like, what is bad? Nobody cares, you know? The people who love you don't see that, right? I was talking to somebody the other day about my hooded eyelids, and they were like, what are you talking about?
See, you said the same thing to me, and I was like, I literally do not, A, don't see it, and never would have, like, thought that.
And meanwhile, I'm like, can I even see anymore? The eyelids are closing over my eyeballs. But to everyone else, I look exactly the same. And in fact, better, because I lost some weight since I started exercising a lot, you know, and so my face was, like, slightly more definition in my cheekbones. But, you know, to the smile line point, like, I don't even, it should be about the joyous expressions that you're making and not about what those expressions do to these, like, creases in your face. I've also just had so much sun damage. I spent so many years of my life not taking care of my skin in the sun, living in Zimbabwe and Australia and all these, you know, constant sun on my body, working at a dive center, out on a boat all the time, like, no sunscreen. And at the time, when I look back, I'm like, God, my skin looks so good. I'm so dark and fabulous. It was great. But, you know, now I very heavily see the impact of that. Yep. I was photographing someone the other day, and we realized we went to the same high school. And he was like, oh, when were you there? And I was like, 08. Or when did you graduate? I was like, 08. He was like, oh, we're a little further off than I thought. I was 1998. I was like, oh, no. And you thought we were close? Like, that is a testament. And I think, you know, that's...
Okay, but I just want to set that narrative straight, because you do not look like... I know, I was like you were graduating in the 90s.
I know.
That's outrageous. And fuck that person. Well, sorry.
It's fine. I mean, it was just funny because, it's a testament to how delusional everybody is, right? Where we all think we are younger, we think other people are older. Like, how we present is not a accurate representation of our age, certainly.
Right.
And, you know, also, he's not wrong. Like, I have raged a lot. I've drank a lot. I have used a lot of sun, or spent a lot of time in the sun without using a lot of sun skincare. Whatever. There are many reasons why that guy would surely think I look older. So, but it is what it is, right?
I think it's just your maturity.
Sure, I'll take it. And also, like, how can I not give a shit about any of that?
You know? I know.
That is the ultimate quest, is how can you not care and let that go and remind yourself every time you see a paid ad, every time you see a product, every time you see whatever, just be like, oh, someone else trying to make money off of me, but I'm perfect. Turn up my nose and walk away.
Right. And that's impossible to do. And I will say, and I will caveat. So, like, just touching on Botox again, I don't do it. I personally don't feel like I do it for other people. Yeah. I do it because I want to do it. The reason that I didn't talk with my husband about it is because he's like, it's totally going to change your face. And I was like, well, yeah, if you go the route that you've seen other people go, but this is me. Like,
and I think people think that now because of the consistent use of injectables with Botox.
And like, celebrities. Fillers. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But like Botox doesn't, I mean, it does and it doesn't, right? I would say that it, you know, preserves your face if you start it early enough. And that's really the goal. And that's what, you know, the conversation should be.
Yes.
Like, if you use Botox, it's to preserve your face as it is. So that's why people say start as soon as you're willing or can afford it or whatever, which, again, I don't agree with that messaging necessarily. I think you do whatever makes you feel good. But then the use of injectables, which people don't love to talk about, and again, I'm not a doctor, so somebody could maybe give a more accurate representation of what's actually occurring. But what I have been told is that the way that your body metabolizes the filler is just different person to person, and you can never know what your body's going to do and how it's going to metabolize. So ultimately, if you're using fillers and Botox, yeah, over time, your face is going to change.
It's going to look fucked up, yeah.
It's going to just be different. I will say, I photographed an event where... The event was led by a cosmetology guy, an injectable, whatever. I feel hesitant even to talk about it in case somebody ever listens to this episode. But I was trying to photograph these women and trying to get them to laugh in this picture. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are none of them smiling? I'm using all my best stuff. Like, why am I not getting any authentic expressions out of these people? And then I was like, oh, yeah, they can't move their faces in the same way. Like, they just literally cannot smile the way a normal person would naturally laugh and smile.
Yep.
And it was, you know, people who've been doing this for perhaps decades, right? These were some older women and whatever. But just, like, it gave me serious pause because I was right, you know, this was probably about 5 years ago. And it was right when I was starting to think, oh, this is when I should be doing stuff like this. The proverbial should, right? You can should all over yourself about shit like this. But it was right when I was starting to think that I should be looking into this at the very least, trying to budget for it at the very least. And then that party, I was like, never mind. I need to spend all of my energy instead on accepting myself and getting over this, like, you know, attachment to my physical appearance. I had a good face for some years, and that was cool. And now...
Stop it! Oh my God, you talk like you have a dog face. Like, Natalie, please.
No, I just mean, you know, like, you have youth in a time that you have youth. And then you move into wisdom and these other things, and we're still
fabulous. Society doesn't value as much the wisdom, which I think is hard. Like, I was reading something by Padma Lakshmi. She's on Food Network and everything. And she was like, I wouldn't... give up what I know now for the body of the yesteryears. 100%. And I thought that was super powerful. And I will say, I do put a lot of time and effort into my body, but that's so that I have the ability to continue playing with my kids as I age, being an active person as I age because of how it plays with my mental well-being and my overall happiness. So saying that and how... I wanted to touch on what you said about the metabolization of Botox or fillers or whatever it is. So I metabolize Botox way too fucking quick. I actually have to hold myself to getting it done 4 times a year because I could probably go like every 2 months and still metabolize it. But the lady who does mine, who's an absolutely fabulous woman, she was like, you can't have everything.
Yeah.
You can't have a fast metabolism and keep your Botox long. So that was another way where it's like a level of acceptance, right? And I'm not looking for a glass face in any respect. And as I'm here with you, would you think I had Botox done?
No. See, because I look flawlessly natural.
Okay. I mean, not flawless, but I definitely look natural. Yeah. And that's the goal. I don't want to look preserved because I totally agree with you. When you watch, I'm a big Real Housewives fan, right? I'm a big Vanderpump Rules fan. I love those reality shows, but it's very fun and interesting to me from a human aspect to see them go from early in the career when they're first on the show to then being a seasoned person on the show and just how their faces look unrecognizable. And one person, and I love Denise Richards. I think she's fabulous. I think she's awesome. I think her attitude's awesome. Like her just, fuck it, I'm gonna do what I want. Whatever. I saw her jawline, which looked like it had some sort of fillers in it. And that was like the cosmetology party that you spoke of, where I was like, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I don't think I'll do that. I'll be happy with my Botox trying to not get my resting bitch face and my what the fuck look.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I just want to look like I don't have to wear makeup.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I don't want to have to wear makeup because, I mean, you've seen, I'm not good at it. It's very rudimentary, my abilities, and I just want to continue. I don't want to look 25 my whole life. I don't have those types of delusions. Yeah. I just want to look like I'm aging gracefully, and I think that's what a lot of people want, but it's hard because the media outlets aren't telling you to age gracefully. They're telling you to pause your aging.
Yeah, like do not age or else. But then I think about the Jane Fondas of the world. I mean, granted, she's had a ton of work and openly talks about it, which, you know. But she is so beautiful in her wisdom and age and grace. And I just, I'm obsessed with Grace and Frankie also. I know, I'm like, now I'm thinking about it. Maybe she's not the best example since, again, she's had a shit ton of work done.
But she's owned it and she's talked about wanting to preserve. I feel like what some of the more legacy women who still look great to this day, the one thing that they've been true to is how they look.
Yeah. Totally.
They've kept that, just, I get it. I get the need to have it in the celebrity spotlight. Luckily, that's not us.
I know. I was like, they're just in an industry where their body is literally how they get work.
Yeah.
But I would even venture to say, like, it's not even about bodies as much. It's, like, the face, ultimately, yeah. You know?
Totally.
People are just like, is your face looking older than it did? Uh-oh, what are you doing about
exactly.
it? You're like, absolutely nothing, because I'm getting older, so that's why my face is looking older.
Right.
But I say all this, and, you know, if I was going flush for cash, I would probably be doing Botox right now. I'm still in this spot where I feel like I can't justify it financially, because I know the minute I start, it's hundreds of dollars every time you go, and then you're doing it. And then, you know, once you have a taste, right? Once you're like, ooh, look how good my forehead looks after not moving it for 2 months, then you're like, well, obviously now I gotta keep doing it, you know? And I feel very inspired by you having like a strict, we'll just do it quarterly and that's all.
But you're not wrong. Like, it is
a
commitment.
Investment.
It's a quarterly investment. And, you know, we've talked about your body and your mental well-being and how you feel about yourself being one of the more important things for me, just in terms of how I'm budgeting and spending my money.
Yeah.
But it comes from other places. When I'm doing that, it's coming from another fun bucket, or it's coming
yeah.
from somewhere else. So it's not like an incremental thing that I'm working on,
yeah.
you know, adding to the bottom line, so to speak. But I enjoy it, and I hate how many compliments I get 1 week after getting it. I am not kidding you.
People are like, wow, you look so fresh.
They're like,
you're glowing.
Oh my God, what did you do? Like, oh, did you get, you look so good. Your skin looks so great. And I am just like, don't feed the beast.
Damn it. I know. I mean, and this is, again, it's like everybody's metric, right? Of how you look is who you are, you know, in our current modern society anyways. Where that's how it feels to us women, you know, men, not, they don't get that same
no.
pressure.
Oh my God, my husband
well, they
started
do in
going,
different ways.
My husband started going gray, and I was like, I'm more attracted to you. But thinking about gray dudes when I was like 23, I was like fucking foul.
Oh my
but
gosh.
Now I'm like, oh my God. And I don't
so
know if it's
cute.
Just him, because I've seen it, you know, him go to start, and I'm like,
oh no,
it's
there's research
so
on this.
Cute.
It's,
and I
people
just.
People love and aging men. They have this beautiful grace period where, like, until they're 60, everybody thinks they're just getting hotter. Or, I mean, that's how I have experienced it. And, you know, my husband, when I first started dating him, I had more than one client think he was my little brother. We like
oh
look
my God.
Similar and he looks younger than me. And he, you know, every year as he looks slightly older, I just think he's getting sexier and sexier. And meanwhile, I'm like, oh no, soon we're going the opposite trajectory.
Right. We're exing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But, you know, again, then you, the minute something like that comes out of my mouth, I think, how dare I even say that? Because there are other people watching me. There, my niece is looking up to me. And, see, you know, if she ever listened to this one day, right? It's like, all I want her to remember is that the most important thing is the quest to accept yourself.
Totally.
And to move on. And stop focusing on that, you know? Trevor having no frame of reference for what he looks like on any given day, I used to be slightly annoyed by, because I'd be like, have you even looked in the mirror? Your eyebrows are both heading straight into the middle of your face. Like, go ahead and brush them off to the side, dear. Like, what's going on? But now I look at it as just admiration. I'm like, look at you. Just going about the world, not caring at all how you're presenting. I love that for you.
And I will say, having three kids as early and young as I did was a really good opportunity for me to not become obsessed with looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Simply because I don't have the time.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't spend a ton of time in front of the mirror, but when I do, I'm like, ooh, you know. But I, again, yeah. It was interesting that you brought up your niece and, you know, these smaller little females that are around us who we don't want to ever be having this conversation with,
I know,
right?
I know.
But I think what's, you know, I have made it a point to never, ever say anything derogatory about myself in front of my daughter. Again,
yeah.
Because if you listen to the BOD episode, I listened to my mom say it, which planted a seed in my head. And not to say that she won't get outside influences. I'm very
totally.
Honest about knowing that. But at least it won't be coming from me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that actually reminded me what you were saying before about makeup. You know, I feel like the newer generation, I mean, sure, there are both sides of it, but many of the seniors I photograph are not wearing makeup anymore at all.
I know.
You know, and they're just...
It's kind of amazing. Where I like the shift in the beauty industry is how it's more about celebrating yourself versus covering yourself.
Yeah, totally.
With the
oh
fun
God.
Colors, which I watched a really funny... Someone sent me, I think it was my friend Rachel, sent me a TikTok about... a guy who didn't understand brow laminating or like fluffing out your eyebrows.
Oh my God.
And one of my favorite, so one of the things that as a kid made me feel very like, I guess, self conscious was my eyebrows. They were huge. Oh. They were bushy, but then look at, like, it's back in style. So now I'm like, hell yeah, I want to go ahead and fluff my eyebrows. I want those shit to be on fucking fire.
I was like, you have incredible
the ones that
want to
split, right? The ones that I see split into two separate eyebrows. Like, that's what I want. I want to celebrate the things that I didn't like about myself. I mean, if mustaches came back in, I'll fucking laminate the shit out of mine. That was one thing I was talking about the girls at camp, because they weren't shaving their legs yet, you know, and they weren't, they were dealing with, you know, upper lip hair. And I was like, listen, I remember when I was in fifth grade, a kid of, we had a foreign exchange student from Japan, and he asked me why I had a mustache in fifth grade, which is an absolute abhorrent year to be asked that. It's horrible ever.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, like, again, that accepting the fact that I had a little bit more hair in my upper lip, like,
Whatever,
at some point, like, we all have these things. And to your point, everyone is so scrutinizing their own bodies, their own faces, their own insert whatever here, that I wish that we could stop at least doing that. Keep doing the things that you want to yourself feel or look different, but stop scrutinizing it. Just celebrate that you're taking the step in your own self-care to make yourself look, maybe it's less crow's feet, maybe it's less mustache hairs, whatever it is.
Well,
you know?
I do say, I tell all my female clients too, they should also be shaving their face, because not only does it help with exfoliating, right? It's like a mini facial. Men, there is a theory that men age more gracefully because they're shaving their face constantly. So they're constantly exfoliating. For women, you know, A, if you have a mustache, shave it off, sure, if you want. But also, if you're shaving your whole face, you're product goes on much better. Your moisturizer goes on much better. Makeup sits much more nicely on your face. And to the point about makeup, I think there is a tipping point where, like, as you age, you look better makeup, you know?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
And I'm trying really hard to lean into that era, too. I have very light eyelashes, but they're, like, amazing and long.
I
love my eyelashes, and they're fabulous. But you can't really tell that they're a thing at all unless I have mascara on, at which point everybody asks me if I have fake eyelashes on, because I don't wear makeup that often anymore, that when I put on mascara now, it's, like, monumental wow. And so then there's this part of me that's like, well, I should be doing a lash lift and a dye so that my lashes are always that long, but I don't have to do it. But then that's, what, another $200 or something?
And appointments.
Yeah, and like appointment where you have to just lay there and have chemicals laid, you know, you're perming your eyelashes, right? And I'm already doing my nails, which is bathing my hands in chemicals. It's all these things that you're doing for outward appearance that if I could just come back to this space where I am perfect, I am great, nothing is wrong with my body, this vessel is getting me through this life fabulously, mind you. I'm flexible. I'm strong. There are a million reasons why this vessel is slaying the game.
And
how fucking dare I look at any part of it and be like, ugh, you suck. You know? Like, what the fuck, Nat? And so, just always trying to come back to that space. Anytime you have one of those intrusive thoughts, I come back to, like, would I tell this to my friend? Would I say this to my best friend? You know, when one of my girlfriends was talking to me about her forehead lines, I was constantly reminding her, I see none of that. All I see are your beautiful turquoise eyeballs and your fabulous smile. Your lines on your forehead do not even register in my brain, and I am a person who analyzes faces for a living.
Yep.
It is just so important for us to remember that, and perhaps that is the place to leave you all with the message that, like, you are perfect just as you are. Your vessel is perfect just as it is. Don't let these money-hungry corporations convince you of anything else.
But also, if, like, you're not there yet, like, we're not there yet either.
So get the Botox if you want, you know?
Just do it, but, like, appreciate it. Don't feel bad about it. And stop scrutinizing your face. If you're doing it to look better, if you're doing it to not even look better, to feel better. Then do it for that and do it for you.
Yeah. And just, you know, try to choose your words carefully around the next generation, because people are watching, and we got to try to eradicate this so that they're hopefully, Ellie's Jen will just love themselves.
Totally. You know? And the one thing I also will leave with too is that I do like that you just said, the seniors that you're photographing are wearing less makeup. There's a whole no-tox, like, movement on TikTok, on Instagram, where you're working with, like, the cupping of your muscles and, like, natural things like that, facial massages, things that also really release endorphins and make you happy as well. So don't do Botox if you don't want to. Do Botox if you do want to. Look at alternate things. Always keep questioning it and just find out what's right for you.
Yeah. And if you've found something that has helped you on this journey, please let us know. Email us, potmomspodcast@gmail.com, or DM us on Instagram @potmomspodcast. We love you guys. You're perfect. Never forget it.
Stay beautiful.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey everyone, it's Ryan from the Cannabis Connoisseur podcast. If you're looking for ways to utilize cannabis to keep you healthy, strong, and sharp, come join us every Wednesday where we dive into the best ways to use cannabis to optimize your life. Topics include cannabis and athletics, cannabis for productivity, cannabis for anxiety, cannabis for a healthy immune system, and so much more. If you're a curious connoisseur, this show is for you. So please head over to our page, and we're looking forward to seeing you this week. Bye.